Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in Bud Shaw. And I want to ask Bud something because I know Bud's not in the bubble. He tries not to be. He tries to be fair and objective. Bud, last night, if you're an Indians fan, should you have a problem with David Ross on the broadcast?
Oh, I don't. Is that really a topic? Or are people upset
did
about that?
Did you not see social media yesterday during the game, Bud?
I did not. I was in a bubble then last night because I didn't pay much attention.
Well, one of the things they did, they had a vignette where he actually interviewed Andrew Miller about that fateful home run that he clocked off him last year. But Andrew Miller was a good sport about it and actually turned out to be, I think, a fun piece. But if you're an Indians fan, on national television, it's the first time your team has been in the spotlight on Sunday Night Baseball, which used to be a bastion, a powerful franchise in the world of sports. I think Indians fans didn't want to see that last night. That was the conclusion I was getting from reading all the tweets.
I think we're a sensitive fan base. Would you agree with that?
All of Cleveland sports?
For the most part. I mean, as bad as the Browns have been all these years, people still get upset and identify certain broadcasters as being like anti-Browns. I get it in emails from people that say, why are you so negative about the Browns? You know, you're not from here. Well, I've been here 26 years now, and they've been pretty bad for most of that time. So, yeah, I just think people tend to get let their civic pride get in the way. I didn't think anything of that. I thought it was – I did see that part. I did see the interview with
– Was it tastefully done?
I thought it was different enough that it held my interest. I didn't – I wasn't offended by it in any way.
Send your mean tweets to Bud Shaw on Twitter. We'll read them. We will read all of them, and we'll make him endure it. I just wonder. I try to get out of it. I'm a diehard Cleveland fan. I've lived in other places. And to me, it's kind of desensitized me to it because every town I've ever been in, any place I've ever been in, everybody says ESPN hates them. Everybody says the national media hates them. I thought us winning the title, I thought Cleveland punching through and getting that title would maybe change some of that, but it really hasn't.
Yeah, and if the backdrop was that people didn't feel the Indians were getting their just due from national media outlets, you might say, oh, here's another example. You know, they rubbed it in with David Ross. But I think most of these national guys, and I know many of them, like Kirkjian now you're making me.
What, Jason Stark? Are you talking about
Buster Olney?
Kenny and those guys. I mean, most of them have been singing. They were singing the praises of the Indians organization even when the Indians weren't performing, even when the local media and fans were critical of the Indians. These guys were still picking them as one of the better organizations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the Indians have gotten their due. I think most of those people believe the Indians will be winning this division and be back in the playoffs, and I agree.
And they're certainly set up to win that division, but you can always get better, Bud. As we're talking about the rotation, you got Kluber, you got Carrasco. You going out and getting a Sonny Gray or a Gerrit Cole, or do you stand pat?
Yeah, I don't know if I know Sonny Gray's been struggling some, but no, I don't stand pat. I mean, I think they clearly need another guy. I heard Anthony earlier this morning talk about a lack of trust if Trevor Bauer is the guy that they're handing the ball to in the postseason. And I think there's a legitimate reason for that. He's never been consistent enough. I don't know if you guys still hold the drone thing against him. I know some fans do. I kind of didn't hold that against him. But his stubbornness, I think, I've always held against him. I think the Indians pitching coaches over the years have always scratched their heads a little bit. I go out and get somebody. This is a chance for them to get back and go deep and maybe even win the thing this year. I think they're good enough to do that, but I do believe they need another starting pitcher and a good one.
Bud Shaw joining us on the hotline. So there's seven games above 500, 2.5 up in the Central. Are they where they need to be? Were you hoping for more? Do you think that they'll play better in the second half? What is your appraisal on how they've been the first half of the season?
Well, I thought they would be better. Seven over 500 in this division is decent. You know, I mean, it's not like they're losing ground to somebody and you wonder whether they'll be able to catch up. I just think they have a lot of room to play better. And if they can solidify the starting rotation with another, you know, good proven arm, I think you'll see them win the division by, you know, 8 to 10 games still. I don't see anybody there. And I know Kansas City's been playing real well lately. I just don't see that standing up.
But fill in the blank for me here. Best offensive player on the Indians is, and clearly in your head right now, I'm putting you to choose between Francisco Lindor or Jose Ramirez.
I'd have to say Jose Ramirez, really.
Wow.
We do these videos at Cleveland.com, and the recurring theme is it too early to worry about Francisco Lindor? You know, I don't know if worry is the right word, but it's certainly not too early to say that, you know, he hasn't been the offensive player he was last year or the year before, and that might be an issue as this season goes on. It's been 2.5-3 months now. But Jose Ramirez right now is playing with that, you know, that confidence that you don't normally see from guys that are 24 years old or 25 years old. I mean, he's been a real, unbelievable surprise, because I never thought of him as one of those players that you would say, hey, this guy could be an all-star starter for the next 4 or 5 years. And I know that's premature, but yeah, I clearly think he's their MVP and a legitimate league MVP candidate.
The fact that Tito is recovering, he was already back in his office yesterday, was crazy to me, shows that that's a pretty good sign, I think. Any concerns at all about this procedure that he had and that the Indians could depend on him the second half of the year?
No, I mean, this was not a trivial procedure, but on the other hand, the prognosis was always good. I know that doctors were having a hard time convincing him that he shouldn't be at the All-Star game. And that tells you everything you need to know. I mean, this guy's a baseball lifer. He wants to be there. I think it's smart to just wait. I know some people feel it's smart for him to not even go on the road in the first couple of series after the All-Star game. But I think that, you know, I would trust his doctors on this, and I'm sure that they've cleared him to do that. So, you know, this team is, you know, ever since he came to this team, you know, in spring training the first year, it sounds like trite but you know, he posted like a really kind of self-deprecating picture of himself in the clubhouse, and those guys had a great time with it. And that's what he is. I mean, he connects with these guys, and he's not the greatest strategist, although I thought he made some really good moves in the postseason last year with using Andrew Miller the way he did. But that connection with players is something that he's had in two different cities now, and it works. And I think him returning will be, you know, a real benefit to this team.
With that absence, where do the Indians get that leadership from in the meantime, until you get Tito back?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to ask that they find it in Brad Mills, and I don't mean that in any negative way.
Oh, we gotcha.
Just,
yeah.
You know, that's not his role there. You'd like to think that it's going to come from some everyday players, and I don't know who those guys are on this team yet. You know, and maybe there doesn't have to be one guy, but I think, you know, Napoli was that guy last year. And they really rallied around him and had a you know, a lot of fun with him as the mainstay in the clubhouse. So, you know, you'd think it would be guys that have been here for a little while and have had some success. You know, and I don't know who you would put in that category other than like a guy like Kipnis, but, you know, we all know he's now on the DL.
Bud Shaw joining us on the hotline, switching gears over to the NBA. The Cavaliers made a signing, Jeff Green, on paper. He's that 6'9", lengthy, athletic, switchy guy. But in reality, he just has been an underperformer his entire career. Jamal Crawford decides that, you know, it's not working out because they would have had to take up too much of that mid-level exception. So, you know, that wasn't going to be the case for the Cavs, who were trying to get that CeeDee Osmond back. Their offseason moves thus far, how much are you concerned about the Cavs and whether or not they've taken a step backwards?
Well, I do think they've taken a step backward, but I don't think it's a surprising step backward. I mean, I never thought that they had the flexibility to do a whole lot without trading one of their big pieces. And clearly that is not Dan Gilbert's plan. I wouldn't expect that any GM who comes into this position is going to get the clearance to make a Kevin Love trade. It just doesn't sound like that's the way Dan wants to go. So, yeah, I think they're just limited in how much they can improve this team. And the good news for them is that, you know, even Gordon Hayward going to Boston, I don't think changes anything in the Eastern Conference. So I'd be shocked if they weren't back in the NBA Finals again.
How much does that gap close, though, between the Celtics and the Cavs with their addition of Gordon Hayward? And then clearly they had some other pieces that had to leave Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a better team. I think having to give up, it was Marcus Smart, right, that they traded away.
Yeah, him and Olynyk's gone too. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Or was
Avery Bradley. Bradley.
Yeah. Avery Bradley, I'm sorry. I think that's a loss for them in some ways. And I know Kelly Olynyk is not, you know, the most popular guy in this town. But for the role he played for them, I think that's a little bit of a loss for them. So, yeah, I think they've improved. I mean, does anybody expect a draft pick to come along and play so well that they're, you know, suddenly the Celtics are the team to beat in the East? I would say not.
Bud, I'm just curious, this is like 3 weeks now without a GM. Do you even think it matters if you marginalize the role like Dan Gilbert has, or do you think this is an issue that the Cavs still have not given that title and we don't even know who they're interviewing?
Yeah, I do think it's an issue, and I realize there's not a lot of flexibility, so you could say, well, why would you pay somebody a lot of money to do nothing? But, you know, is the rest of the league wrong in valuing that position? Because they certainly seem to value it more than Dan does. I think if you could argue what David Griffin did here, but I thought he found some pretty creative ways to bring in players that helped this team. And I think that could be sorely missed this year. And I don't pretend to know what is going on in LeBron's head. And I don't know if any of us do, you know. Nobody expected him to leave in 2010. Certainly when that happened, nobody expected him to return. So I don't know what he's thinking about 2018, but in some ways it feels to me that Gilbert has given LeBron an easier out if he does want to try to justify leaving, if this thing in the front office, you know, doesn't ends up hurting this franchise.
You'd mentioned David Griffin. He had a busy weekend interviewing with the Knicks and then deciding that, okay, it wasn't going to work between him and a different Dolan. Are you surprised that Griffin came to that result, came to that conclusion? Are you even surprised that he went for the Knicks job knowing that they have an odd owner in that regard too?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised. I'm more surprised that the Knicks continue to change, you know, semi-change regimes while keeping some other front office people in positions of power there. So I don't blame Griffin at all for saying, hey, if I'm coming into this mess, I need full authority, basketball decisions. And, you know, I would be, you talk about frying pan into the fire. If Dan Gilbert has a reputation of being difficult to work for, I think you'd still rather be working for him than you would James Dolan.
Bud Shaw, join us. You watching the Home Run Derby tonight?
I usually try not to, Anthony, but now that you've shamed me into it.
Wait, hold on. Now, you haven't been reinvigorated in your interests because of some of the great youngsters, and Bellinger and Aaron Judge are going to be a part of it. No Chris Berman either. For some, that could be a reason to tune in. None of that moves the needle for you?
No, it reminds me too much of my career as a pitcher in high school. I can't watch it.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt your neck again, bud. All right, fine. Then we'll move on from that. Be honest. When you saw the score 58 by 92-3, the fans' team, were you alleging that there was some nefarious things going on the scorecard?
Well, you know, I talked to you about it, and I think you recognized the passive-aggressive nature of my questions. Usually you don't hear four guys all say, wow, we really made a lot of long putts. I'm like,
wait. So the allegation,
you do know that there were no mulligans in that tournament.
Well, you want to call someone out? Call
hold
them out,
on.
Bud.
So the weekend has done nothing to try to calm you down a little bit, because you're not the only one out there that's alleging that there was some wrongdoing or some mischievous behavior out on the golf course. Which, To me, it's a game of honor, and it always has been a game of honor. Bud, as someone who worked in the golf course industry for almost a decade, I got to say it's shameful the way the other media members have brought this up.
What makes me a little skeptical is that I hear Chris Fedor tell me he's only played twice this year, and then suddenly he's transformed into Fred Funk on the golf course. doesn't miss a fairway.
Same swing,
too. Just starts draining every putt he looks at. I'm just, I don't know. I trust, I guess I have to trust you guys.
Here's what we'll do, Bud. Since I know you have the connections, fine. You can take us out at a country club of your choosing that you can get us onto.
How generous of your offer here.
And we'll prove it. We'll prove it again.
Well, how about this, Anthony? Now that you guys are all members of Little Mountain Country Club, maybe you could take me out.
Okay, you just have to pay for the guest fee. Thanks, Bud. Appreciate you coming on.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he is, Bud. Those allegations have not been softened whatsoever. Apparently, we're going to have an independent investigation into this.
I mean, you come with the king, you best not miss.
We have like the Balco people. You know, we're going to have all sorts of people having to look into this.
And
now
you can pay that person $10 an hour too. It's okay.
I'd say go find Ken Starr, but he's got other bigger fish to fry.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.